This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Today in the Breakfast Grill, I am talking to Sim Choo Keng, the chief executive and founder of the Singapore-listed theme park operator and builder, Sim Leisure Group, which also operates the Escape Park in Penang. Sim, thank you for talking to me. And obviously, let's start with the business snapshot where the COVID-19 pandemic is concerned. You've got lots of projects all over the world, but all of them in travel and leisure. You've got projects in the United Arab Emirates, Egypt, Malaysia, China, Sri Lanka, upcoming and as well as current. How bad or how good or how neutral is business right now?
First of all, thank you for having me, Chuang. This COVID-19 is a problem that is not only unique to us. So we're not alone. Everybody is going through this. Well, of course, to say that we are not having difficulty, that would be a lie. As a park operator, our park operations business, we are affected by the lockdown. So far, it has we've been under lockdown for 3 months. Our other business divisions, it has not affected us so much, which is the contracting business. That is our design and building of theme parks. So, well, whenever there is a crisis, I always say there is also opportunity. Because, there are opportunities like such as our clients become more real. Typically, if you're looking at our business model, we have been very competitive. And, in the past, customers who will always want the best and money is not a problem. But this is, put things in perspective, money is a problem. And that is an advantage to us because we have been very competitive in our business. So this is an opportunity for us.
And of course, you are freshly listed, right, Sim? I think you decided to opt for a Catalyst listing in Singapore, which is the high growth exchange. In the first place, why Singapore? Why Catalyst? Why not AIMS in the UK or Malaysia?
Well, our growth front is actually Southeast Asia and China. So we need an international platform. So Singapore sounds good to us. It's appropriate because our position in Southeast Asia and China.
And yet, and yet you had some issues with senior management recently, I think, late June. There was a reported resignation of your CFO. I think the phrase used was mismatch of expectations. What happened there?
Well, I think this whole world is full of political correctness and diplomacy. We, as an efficient company, we mean business. People who knows me know that I drive efficiency, and we find that sometimes from time to time we have people who work with us. They're just not compatible. They are not as an employer, we find certain people not competent, and we got to do the right thing.
But how did you get hired in the first place? Because beyond the CEO, the CFO is usually the most important to the business. How did you get things so wrong at that time?
Well, CFO is important to the business. This is a public perception. This is business community. I don't think the CFO is the most important person. I still think that the entrepreneur is the most important person. The CFO is important if he's able to drive the financial strategy forward. I think that is the role of CFO. When CFOs become accountant, that's redundant.
Because the accountants will come for a lot less money. Obviously.
Absolutely. That's correct,
Okay, so one of the deals that you inked in mid-April, actually, you announced the signing of a cooperation agreement with Guangzhou Daixuan Water Park Equipment. I think they're one of the bigger players in China. But the the terms of arrangement were quite interesting in the sense that they would pay your subsidiary, the 60% subsidiary that belongs to you, a 5% royalty to go and secure design building jobs in China, which is, I guess, relevant, but then as well as in ASEAN. Why did you structure this kind of deal? Why don't you just do it yourself?
Well, you know, we have our limitation. The Chinese market and Southeast Asian market is huge. We thought long and hard about this. This has, for your information, this has been our old business, our core business, or my personal business from the very beginning. We are based in, that business is based in Dubai. And we have been thinking, of considering expanding our business to China, which is a huge, huge market. It's got huge potential, and Southeast Asia as well. So we thought of mobilizing and starting our business there, but we also considered if we could fast track this whole thing by having local companies who are familiar with the local market, who are already in industry, to partner us. I think why not? That will ensure that we can grow the business faster, more effective. So in this case, we're also considering not being the equity partner by signing an IP agreement. It is a lot more safer. You know, it's, you know, the less risk for us.
Financial risk, presumably.
Absolutely, yeah.
But then 5% royalty seems almost too small.
Well, not really. If you look at the gross revenue, that's huge. I mean, looking at a piece of cake, looking at the risk factors as well, it works. It sounds very good.
Okay, so a small piece of a more valuable pie rather than a big piece of a less valuable pie. But what kind of numbers are you talking about from a financial perspective?
Well, I would expect something like eventually down the road, say 3 years from now, we would be looking at somewhere along 100 million US dollar a year business from our partner in China.
But to what extent do you think these numbers might be outmoded because COVID-19 has changed everything, almost everything on the landscape? Theme parks, I mean, Disney shares have been hit and their theme parks have been hit more than most other people. Does that change your expectations of the top line, at least top line or even customers?
No, not really. We are very bullish. I'm very bullish about this. I think this COVID-19 will be a hiccup. A lot of people are talking about new norms and things are going to change. I don't believe that in the long run, particularly. Things will go back to normal. I mean, we look at the all over the world. We are social animals. We need to get out. We need to, you know, we need to go out and do, be entertained. And, you know, this is a temporary setback. So for us, and in particularly the concept of our business now, Escape is a low capex and low opex investment. And the risk associated with such investment is much lower. I mean, we are building parks that are, generally speaking, less than 10% of some of these big boys are doing. So, and we are able to drive similar kind of revenue.
A couple more issues to raise on this particular deal. Your traditional business is, say, design and building, third-party contracting, essentially, but the intellectual property. That's a 60% subsidiary of Sim Leisure Group. The other 40% is owned by ex-staff, I think, Wesley Ray and Josie Booth. I think they own 40%. I think Wesley has 30% of that particular entity. How did it transpire this way? Why didn't they remain? And did you feel comfortable carving out essentially basically the most expensive portion of the business, which is equity, to individuals?
Well, I think that, you know, I've Wes and Wesley Ray and Josie Booth have both been with the company for a long time. Wes has been with the company for 11 years and, you know, he has been instrumental in transforming our business into a recognized international entity. He's running the show most of the time. You know, he's our director of operations. So I think it's only fair that we reward people who have who have contributed towards the company's well-being.
Yeah, 30% is generous, Sim. So on to China. China, is, I think, was a supposedly a $6 billion amusement park, theme park business in 2019. Fastest growing in the world, right? Give us a perspective of how big or how, you know, high potential this business is and your role in it specifically.
Well, I think the $6 billion, I'm not sure it's a $6 billion industry that you're referring to, one
amusement
particular
park spending was forecast to surpass $6 billion in 2019,
right?
According to a company called A Research.
Okay, well, it is big that it's mind-bogglingly big that I don't even know understand the numbers. It's too many zeros, you know. It is definitely bigger than the entire world combined will be. That's how we see it. If one country is equivalent to the other, the rest of the world, and that is serious, it deserves serious consideration. So, you know, it's no-brainer. We see China, the growing middle class, and you know, if I can put things in perspective, let's say Malaysia, we have about 90% of the leisure market already been filled. China has got 10%, so you have 90% to go. So naturally, we will be looking at China.
And of course, that particular research says that 64 new parks will be built between now and 2020. In fact, between 5 years ago and 2020, and then total investment is about $24 billion. So that's quite a lot of money. I'm talking this morning to Sim Chu King, the chief executive and founder of the Singapore-listed theme park operator and builder, Sim Leisure Group. We'll come back after this and talk about your fundraising exercises, as well as the outlook for new business in the next few years. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
I'm talking this morning to Sim Chu King, the chief executive and founder of the Singapore-listed theme park operator and builder Sim Leisure Group, and also the operator and owner of Escape Water Park in Penang. Now, one of the things that you announced some months ago, I think pre-COVID as well, was a placement of some shares in the business to Tropica Kiara, said to be a major food and beverage player. This deal was agreed pre-lockdown, and I think they were going to end up with about 17-odd% of your enlarged share cap. Mm. First of all, is the deal still on, and what's happening there?
The deal is closed. The deal went through two stages. One is to acquire 10% of my shares, and the other 10% is the enlarged capital, the new issuance of new shares. The deal was closed during the COVID-19. So, yeah, it's kind of strange. People are asking us, you know, what a coincidence, COVID-19. So obviously, there must be a certain level of confidence in order for such a thing to go through, such a deal to go through.
And of course, the deal was closed. It was announced at 22 cents a share, raising nearly 3 million Sing in proceeds. Of course, your share price now is around about 25 cents, as at yesterday. I didn't check this today. You were going to build, I think, together an indoor recreational centre at Paradigm Mall in PJ. So obviously, first of all, retail is kind of like in the doldrums because nobody's going out and everybody's afraid of being infected by COVID-19. What is the plan on the table? How has that plan changed, if at all, Sim?
Well, I think our partner, the Paradigm Mall, which is owned by WCT Group, they see the transformation of the business model from retail malls to lifestyle mall. That's how I see it. So it is a good strategy bringing us the recreation part into their mall. We are bringing Escape into Paradigm Mall, which I love to call this bringing the outdoor fun indoor. So this is happening, and it's going to transform. I think this will transform the mall. I'm confident that we will drive traffic to the mall.
And of course, Tropica itself, they are a restaurant business. I think they own Dragon Eye, Canton Eye, Home and Sun. They own Yo Yoi as well. And they also own a small college with about nearly 800 students, right? So again, I mean, F&B has been hit by COVID-19. Education's been hit by COVID-19. Are they still okay in terms of being fiscally stable as a partner of yours?
Well, I can't really speak on their behalf, but yes, we have long-term plan. You know, it could be a strategy. We will work out on the strategy as well. We are a theme park that, you know, my personal belief is that we are a theme park that we don't believe that food and beverage is the key business of or integral part of the theme park business. So, you know, we are exploring the possibility of working with our partner on the food and beverage business.
And of course, one other deal that you announced pre-COVID as well was an MOU in Sri Lanka. So you're going to deal, you're going to partner up with the Sri Lanka listed Elpitiya Plantations. And they, of course, are they also part of the Aitken Spence blue chip conglomerate, right? And what's happening there?
Well, it's the deal is it's no longer an MOU. It is already signed. So we are working on, well, of course, the COVID-19 has restricted us our movement, so we have not been able to meet physically. The deal was done during the COVID-19. The agreement was signed. We are at the design stage. We have already completed the design, so now we are looking at, you know, and as a matter of fact, as we speak, we have already started the nursery part of the project.
So to zoom out a little bit, in terms of operations of theme parks, that's kind of slow because everything's been locked down in the last 3 months. But it seems in terms of your design and building business and creative side, that still goes on. And how are revenues apportioned between these two different businesses?
Well, our the business is almost all generated from our theme park operations at the moment. So our design and build business is ongoing because you know it's predominantly in the Gulf Cooperative Countries (GCC) in UAE and Saudi Arabia and Qatar. Oman. So construction is ongoing. It's different from Malaysia. So we are working every day during the COVID-19. There's no stoppage.
I'm talking today to Sim Choo Keng, the chief executive and founder of the Singapore-listed theme park operator and builder, Sim Leisure Group, which also owns Escape Water Park in Penang. Now, of course, Penang is where you and I are both from, Sim. It's become a real staple. Everybody in Penang talks about it. Even my kids go there as well. You opened some years ago, and I think what you did at the time is you took a piece of land, which was a bit of a hinterland, and then you reconfigured the landscape. And I don't think you leveled it at all. You used the landscape at all to get your brides and etc. What's happening there? I think you've also been on record as saying that you don't need a lot of visitors necessarily to break even. You built it on a low capex, low opex model. What's the snapshot there in terms of the business?
Well, you know, the ethos and philosophy of Escape is about, you know, reconnecting with nature and rediscovering childhood. So, to be exact, we actually transformed a former construction site, a former construction site of the Tola Bahang Dam into a playground. And we have successfully done that. And we have, through planting of more than 3,000 trees and transplanted 104 big trees. Of course, it is not the usual theme park. When you talk about theme park, it conjures up images of roller coasters and all these mechanical rides. It is completely the opposite. So back to basics. So you're right. You're saying that we don't need a huge number of visitors in a way. But, you know, Penang has its limitation. This is not Klang Valley. So we are fine. I'll break even if I'm not mistaken. We, you know, last year was 300 customers a day, and we are fine. So this is a low operating, low capex and low opex business, which is on the rise. There is a demand for such outdoor fun activities.
Well, Escape's success depends on Penang's success in a way as a destination for tourist arrivals. How is that doing in terms of the narrative that Penang offers to the world, being, of course, in very close proximity to Langkawi and to Phuket and even to Bali by some stretch of the imagination, in terms of similar type destinations for the international traveller?
Well, I've been advocating on this subject. I've been telling tourism players that we have serious competition It's no longer in the 1980s or early 1990s where, you know, you talk about tourism, Penang was number one. Most people are aware that we, in 2017, we slipped into number 7 place in Malaysia. So, we are not only facing competition from other states, but, Thailand, Vietnam, Indonesia. These are new destinations are coming up, and we do have serious competition. There is a need for a new tourism direction, and that's what I have been advocating. So, escape to much what we could do, we can only do as a individual attraction, but we need a holistic approach in turning Penang into a new. Tourist destination again.
How should it be done? Local Penangites know that the positioning has been moribund. I don't think I know a more relevant word. In terms of positioning, it hasn't really been very creative in the last 20, 30 years. It's been the food, beach scene, and that's basically it, right? And some UNESCO World Heritage stuff in there. But how should the Penang tourist message be sent out to the rest of the world? What should it be? What can it be?
I think, first of all, Penang people are overly staunch. I think, you know, it's natural when you say you're from Penang, you're very proud. And this is a problem on its own, because we're always feeling proud that we're doing things. We are very unique. And unfortunately, this blinkered mindset over the years easy order taking that has spoiled our position. We need new blood. We need new ideas, and we can't continue to recycle the same old product of street food, heritage. I think that the food is good, but it's overrated. It's just not cool anymore.
So what should it be? What can it be?
Well, my immediate thought and what I've been talking about is nature related. We've got a crown jewel. We've got Penang Hill. We've got the sea. We've got the forest reserve. We've got green. We just need to put ideas on these places, you know.
And what can it be? Is there a model in the world that one can emulate or even reverse engineer?
Yeah, absolutely. The scale. I think we are talking about scale. We have to. We cannot be doing little museum and little chocolate place. This is just so outdated. We cannot go on selling fake Gucci bags and CDs and so on. We need a different mindset. We are talking about in terms of scale. I've given ideas to the state government. I think that we should do the biggest playground from Penang Hill all the way to Tula Bahang. So how cool is that? You know, how fantastic it can be. The biggest downhill biking track in the world, the longest zip line in the world. We've got everything that we could do, but you need entrepreneurs to put this thing in place.
Do you think as a policy initiative that the government in Penang, the state government, is in a good place to see that through? Do you think they have the vision and the will?
Well, as I can see, they are trying. Unfortunately, honestly, I think the tourism, Penang tourism industry is being surrounded by people who are outdated. You know, sorry, I really think that we need new blood, new people in the new way of looking at things. Time has changed, you know. We are no longer living in the 1980s.
It is a bout of creativity, and who better perhaps than you, Sim, to bring that to the fore. So thank you for spending time with us. I hope your ideas, even some of them, will be adopted by the state government. So good luck with the plan and good luck with the listing, and hope you make it to the main board of the SGX sooner rather than later. I was talking to Sim Chu Keng, the chief executive of the Singapore listed theme park operator and builder and owner and manager of the Escape Water Park in Penang, Sim Leisure Group, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.